This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You've heard us talk about David Femeninio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million, $5 million, how about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, let's talk some football. Brian Baldinger, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. John, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. And we're kind of looking at this weekend without our Lions playing, wondering which game we should be most interested in. What one's got your attention?
Well, I think, the way Minnesota's playing in your own division, what they do against the Jets early Sunday morning over in London has my attention because, the Vikings can really kind of, let everybody know that they are for real, which I think they are regardless. But, I mean, this is kind of the Jets season here to me after a really disappointing loss last week to Denver. So that game has my attention. I'll be in Cincinnati myself this week. And so just in the AFC, is Baltimore going to run away with that division or is Joe Burrow and Cincinnati going to kind of rise up here, maybe win a home game and get back into that race?
I'm curious about the Vikings. Why is it working? Why is it working now for Sam Darnold when it didn't work to this point?
John, I mean, it's just I think he was in New York and he was in Carolina and they weren't good organizations and they weren't building the team the right way. And he went to San Francisco last year and he saw what stability looks like, game planning looks like, a really talented roster looks like for the first time. So I think he saw what it can be, how Brock Purdy excelled in that system. And it's really a very similar system what Kevin O'Connell's doing, but they got a very good offensive line. They got really good receivers. They game plan really well. They've jumped on top of teams, John. They're outscoring their opponents 69-17 in the first half. Mm-hmm. And so these teams are throwing it against Minnesota's defense, and they're not having much success. They're throwing a lot of interceptions. They lead the league in interceptions. They lead the league in sacks. They're playing right into, Brian Flores' hands. So it's all working together right now.
Baldy, where do you think Davante Adams ends up? Where's a good fit for him?
Well, I mean, the Jets are obvious. He wants to play with Aaron. But they actually have a good receiving core. They just haven't really shown it yet. But Mike Williams is getting healthy. Garrett Williams is a star. And Alan Lazard is exactly what they need. So, I mean, I guess he would make him a little bit better, but he's going to steal reps from a lot of other players. That makes sense. Pittsburgh makes sense. Buffalo makes sense. All those teams are playoff probably bound, and they all need a receiver at this point.
I'm curious your take on Green Bay, since we're talking about the Vikings in the division, mm-hmm. a team that wins two games with a quarterback that's only been there a month versus losing two games. And I know the first one was the Eagles. It was overseas. It was a tough game and tough matchup, but they've lost two with their $50 million quarterback.
Yeah, they did, and they fell behind early last week to Minnesota. And then they played, they had a furious comeback in the fourth quarter. They put up some points. I still think it's a new defensive coordinator. I think they're still trying to figure some things out on that side of the ball. Offensively, I think they're going to be fine. I think Matt LaFleur does a great job. I think they're still going to win a lot of games, have a chance to win a lot of games. It's just a very tough division right now. Obviously, you know, what you're seeing in Detroit is real. Like, it's, they're very talented. You know, so I think they have a, I think it's just going to be what we thought the AFC North is going to be. Like, the best division in football, it's kind of how it's shaken out in the NFC North right now.
Insider calls on Fridays are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, grocery store. Add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. It's top of mind because of last night's overtime game. Where do you stand on the regular season where the if a touchdown is scored, the other team doesn't get a rebuttal? Is that something they should change the way, at least in the playoffs, you do get a chance to respond?
I do. I mean, Baker didn't get a chance to go out there on the field and, you know, answer it. I understand, you know, they don't want these guys playing, you know, an entire extra quarter. But I'd play an extra quarter if I was, you know, Tampa, to go try to win that game. Or at least, you know, get it into, you know, the next possession or something. I feel like it should be the same as the playoffs. Like, both teams get a chance to possess the ball regardless of what the first team does. And play it out. If you play 10 minutes and it ends up a tie, it ends up a tie. Live with it. But I feel like that should be a consistent rule in regular season.
He's Brian Baldinger. We check in with him every Friday to talk football. Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Bring in a Birchie kid because it's what we do on Fridays. Hey, man, I know you're not necessarily at Allen Park. I'm guessing you're not at Allen Park with it being on the bye
week. I'm currently in Connecticut getting ready for a wedding this weekend, but this segment means so much to me that I put aside wedding prep to come on and talk to you guys.
What a gentleman. What a gentleman. I really appreciate, we all appreciate it, Birchie. Will Birchfield, our writer here at 97 on the Ticket, our extraordinaire. Of course, you see Birchie on Sunday nights and Sunday afternoons of the broadcast crew with Dan Miller on Fox 2. So this week, obviously, Lions aren't playing, but it doesn't mean things don't happen still with the Lions. I know we've been talking a lot for a whole year about how the Lions still need to address who plays opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Have you heard anything about any rumblings of bringing guys in to work them out as a possible defensive end?
No, I haven't heard that. I'm sorry if you can hear a buzzing above me. Apparently, I'm sitting beneath an air base right now. So apologies for any background noise. No, I haven't heard rumblings on that front. I think that we have come to know this Lions team as an organization that really trusts, and some might say overtrust, its internal depth. And I think they feel pretty good about the way Josh Pascal has stepped in there through two games. It's interesting because you keep hearing Dan Campbell and others rave about Pascal's performance, and it doesn't really look like he's done that much when you size up the box score after each game. But what they can trust Pascal to do is sort of what they can't trust James Houston to do, and that's to play within the principles of their defense. And another little shameless self-promotion, Justin Rogers and I on the Detroit Football Network podcast discussed this sort of dilemma and clash in playing styles this week on our latest episode. But I think they really like the fact that Pascal plays similarly to Marcus Davenport as that big end who can set the edge and play with some violence and force. Now, not as much as Davenport, who, as Graham Glasgow said, will headbutt the you-know-what ahead of you. But they know that Pascal will help them crush the pocket on the other end without creating seams for quarterbacks to escape. And so I think they feel pretty good about where they stand at that position entering the second quarter of the season.
They might, but the other side of that is what you talked about there with James Houston. I've always been a big James Houston guy. Hey, once it gets healthy again, hopefully we see what he was, second half of his rookie season. And yet he's out there, had more snaps this past week than he did the previous week against Tampa. But unfortunately, what you see in James Houston was he lined up offside a couple of times and doesn't really show up again as a pass rusher. And it's got to be frustrating for him. I know it's frustrating for the fans, but what are you gauging the responses from him? Are they just trying to get something out of him in practice where he shows up more, or is this a problem?
Yeah, well, I think they wanted to see and take advantage of that opportunity on Monday. And like you said, he didn't. I mean, he probably hurt his cause in terms of finding himself more snaps in the second quarter of the season and even beyond that. I think the way that James Houston rushes doesn't align with the way they want their pass rushers opposite Hutchinson to operate. And I know they looked great as a tandem 2 years ago. That was a long time ago. I mean, Houston has only played, I guess now it's like 30 defensive snaps since his breakout rookie season. That feels like it's pretty far in the rear view. He's obviously super bendy. That's always been his strength. He can get around you with speed, but he also puts himself at risk of creating big seams in the pocket for the quarterback while doing that. And I don't want to say that he is like freestyling or doing things that the coaching staff isn't asking him to do, but I just don't know if he has the rushing style when it comes to power and physicality on the edge opposite Hutchinson that they're seeking. And I think that's why we haven't seen him play as much as a player like Pascal.
Yeah, and I mean, he's clearly not back to the level that he was his rookie season either, and that's not going to help. But yeah. Look, this is it's the bye week, and normally when it happens after four games, I think people are like, oh, that's too early. Oh, I wish it were, you know, a few more weeks into the season. But does it come at a really good time for the Lions right now?
Yeah, it feels like it. You know, usually you see that early bye, and you think that it's a disadvantage for your team, but it feels like it's the right time for these guys. I mean, it'll help to hopefully have a healthy Frank Ragnow back on the other side of this bye. You hope that it means Derek Barnes has to miss minimal time. I thought his absence was really noticeable on Monday night. They'll hope to get him back as soon as possible. And, you know, otherwise on the injury front, I think they're in pretty good shape through four games. But, yeah, I think it will also lead to an even more fired up team in week six in Dallas. I mean, when Dan Campbell talked about, you know, having their own targets on their schedule, as he called it, their, I'll say their pit list. I think it rhymes with pit. Dallas was definitely on that list. I mean, that's a team that I know they have circled over and over again, and having 2 weeks to salivate over this matchup heading down there is going to lead to just a fired up team next Sunday. And hopefully it's a team with Frank Ragnow. I don't know how they're going to tell Frank Ragnow he has to miss two games, let alone one. So he might just force his way onto the field next Sunday.
Yeah. It's almost too, it's, I wouldn't imagine that Barnes is going to be back for that game, which is kind of too bad because I'm sure he'd love to get some redemption after what happened last year with the opportunity to hit Dak Prescott in the end zone for a safety, which could have been a kill shot early in that game. And unfortunately turned into that ridiculous touchdown pass.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And I think the Lions are still waiting to see how long Barnes is going to be out. I know they said after the initial diagnosis that, you know, they weren't sure yet whether or not he would need surgery. They kind of wanted to see the injury heal on its own while he was on IR for at least 4 weeks and then maybe reassess and see whether surgery was required. So I think the duration of his absence is still very much to be determined, but man, he was doing so much for this defense through his first three games, from sometimes playing in the slot to obviously rushing as the strong side linebacker to playing a big role in setting the edge against the run, that without him, I thought they were exposed. I mean, Kenneth Walker didn't really do anything on the interior, but he gutted them on the outside. And Glavine Barnes and Brian Branch, who's probably their best tackling player in the secondary, Walker took advantage of an undermanned unit. And they talk a lot about their linebacking depth. And I'll tell you what, like Trevor Nowoski showed up a little bit on tape in that game against the Seahawks. Only a few snaps, but I think he had a few pressures within those snaps. And I think we'll see more of him on the other side of the bye. I didn't think Ben Neiman quite rose to the occasion, but I thought that Nowoski stood out. And obviously, with Campbell and Anzalone and Rodrigo, it's a good, solid trio. But I think we'll see a little bit more of Trevor Nowoski, as we all assumed when the season started, that he would play a big role at this point in the season.
Will Birchfield joins us here, 97.1 The Ticket. Gator with you today. Doug had to take off to get ready for the football game and has to fly out of town for the game tomorrow night against Washington.
Notice I didn't take the day off, though, Gator. I mean, I prioritized Carson Anderson, despite Carson not prioritizing his own show.
Right, exactly. And I appreciate that out of you more than you know. Consummate pro. Look, speaking of a consummate pro, Jared Goff was perfect in the game, 18 for 18, 292 yards, couple of touchdown passes. He caught the touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. And yet, if you look at a box score and start looking at different guys and their stats, it still feels like even though he was perfect and the team was perfect offensively, that there's still so much more that they can do offensively. I mean, we still have yet to really start up with Amon-Ra St. Brown as a receiver in this offense this season.
Yeah, I've been saying that now for a couple of weeks. Like, I don't think we have seen this offense play a complete game, and they're still top five in yards, and obviously points is catching up now too. But Monday night was definitely that unit as we've come to know it over the past 2.5 seasons. But it's funny, like, you asked Jared about his 18 for 18 record-setting day, and I think one of the first things he did was point to the safety he took and that it prevented him from hitting Tim Patrick for a big game potentially on that play. So he leaves that game feeling like they could have done more too. And how about Tim Patrick? It feels like he is beginning maybe to answer that wide receiver three question that we all were in angst about for almost all of training camp and even the first three games. It seems like he's sort of a natural physical replica of Josh Reynolds. And And in some ways, Reynolds replaced Patrick in Denver. Well, maybe Patrick can replace Reynolds in Detroit. And, you know, he's talked about having more and more chemistry with Goff over the past 2-3 weeks. And he said, you know, when it really gets down to it, and you know, I've had 3 to 4 months of practice time with Jared, he said, quote, it's going to be beautiful. So that's something to look forward to in the second half of the year. And it does seem like he's beginning to show up on tape more and more. And, you know, it's funny, we hear the rumblings about Devontae Adams, and people have linked him to Detroit. But like, if you bring Devontae Adams here, what is he going to be, wide receiver 3, 2? I mean, like, they have so many mouths to feed already that it would seem like that's just adding to an embarrassment of riches.
It would, and yet I'll take him.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to say no. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what the asking price would be. Switching gears, you're a Tiger guy too. You're always at Comerica Park covering the team. This run they're on is spectacular. They just disposed of the Houston Astros in the wild card series. Now they get ready for the gribe, as we like to call them, the Guardians. How do you see this playing out?
So I think the defining matchup of this series is Tigers pitchers against the duo of Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, who are basically Cleveland's offense. I mean, no disrespect to Stephen Kwan and others, but these guys account for pretty much all of their power and middle-of-the-order production. And Ramirez against the Tigers this year was 17 for 49, which is a .347 average. Not bad. He slugged almost .800, and Naylor was 12 for 40, which is .300, and he slugged almost .600. But Gator, of Jose Ramirez's 5 home runs, 4 came against Brian Sammons, Joey Wentz, and Jack Flaherty. And of Josh Naylor's 3 home runs, they came against Kenta Maeda, and Alex Faedo. Also say, this is a very different pitching staff that they're about to see in the ALDS. And I think if the Tigers can hold them in check, just like they did with Bregman, Altuve, Tucker, and Alvarez, they'll be in pretty good shape to win this series.
Yeah, I've been of the opinion that I do not pitch to Jose Ramirez. I walk him. If there's a base open, I'll give it to him. I don't want to pitch to him. And if it means that I got to pitch to Josh Naylor with a man on, okay. But I don't want Jose Ramirez having the opportunity to come to the plate and do damage.
Yeah, well, and remember, there was one game this year where Hinch intentionally walked Jose Ramirez not once, not twice, but 3 times. So I don't think he is going to let Jose Ramirez beat them this series either. Now, obviously, when you've got a guy like Scooble on the mound in Game 2 and maybe Game 5, you're going to let your best attack their best. But I agree, if Jose comes up with bases empty or bases occupied, I think they'll consider strongly walking him. But again, that 3 intentional walk game was before the Tigers were in such a roll with their pitching staff. And I think they have so much faith in all of their guys now that in the same way they went after Tucker, Alvarez, Bregman, and Altuve, they might go after Jose Ramirez in this series.
Sounds great, Will. Enjoy yourself out in Connecticut. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Will Birchfield from 97theticket.com, joining us as he does every Friday, our live report from Allen Park, this one out there in Connecticut. Nice. We'll talk to you next, 248-539-9797, as we gear up for the Tigers' big playoff series against Cleveland. It begins tomorrow afternoon, a 1 o'clock game. Of course, you'll hear every pitch right here on your home for Tigers baseball, 97.1 The Ticket.
And unlike the Red Wings, the Tigers delivered on the miracle. It's the truth, Kenny. Tigers are doing everything you promised me the Wings would do. How dare you? How dare you?
The good news is we will get your first version of Slicked Back Hair Party Time Kenny tonight at the LCA Preseason Wings Hockey.
Oh, my God. Preseason. Okay. Really? This is what you're doing with your evening? Okay.
Absolutely.
I want to ask a question of the people. We're going to get back into, you know, how far can the Tigers take it, the whole thing. I want to ask you a question about watching your team. For a long time this year, you couldn't watch Tigers. They just weren't on TV. And then for a longer stretch, even when they were, rightfully, you didn't want to watch them. They weren't any good. Now, a vast majority of people settled in the last 3-4 weeks to watch them. And it's been a magical ride. But I wanted to ask this question, which is, you have the Detroit Lions that are burdened with heavy, heavy, grandiose expectations. And they have a ton of star power. and you settle in for that once a week game, but you expect greatness. The Tigers, it's magical, it's innocent, it's fun. You've heard the term house money. And you know, for all intents and purposes, they don't have any stars. They got Tarek Skubal. Like, no disrespect. Like, Riley Green's a hell of a ball player. Nobody around baseball knows who the hell Riley Green is. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Good ball player. But, like, sorry, you know, he's not Ohtani. He's not reaching Judge status. He's not, like, we don't have names.
Riley Green was an all-star?
Right, yes. Right. We have a collection of guys that try really hard. My question was this. On one side, expectation. On the other side, hope. Which team is more enjoyable for you to watch as a fan? Right here, right now. The Lions or the Tigers? Both have an opportunity to win a championship. One, you expect greatness. The other, you're hoping. One, and look, you know my thing. I get way more joy watching the Lions because I don't like Moneyball. I'm accepting of it because it's how the Tigers have to play. I can respect something without liking it. It's the same thing. Like with the Lions, I'm getting star power. I'm getting juice, electricity, and I expect greatness. And I am able to go into that game, and it's just very myopic in my focus. Mm-hmm. So for me, I enjoy watching the Lions more. But I want to know what the people feel. You tell me.
See, I would think the people would enjoy watching the Lions more for the simple fact that you know every week what you're going to get. For the Tigers, it's fun, but it's very short term. It's very myopic. You realize at any given moment the bottom's going to fall out. And when it does, you just kind of shrug your shoulders. It was a good run. For the Lions, each week you expect not only to win, but you want to keep pace. You're hoping to be the number one overall seed. And especially after what you saw on Monday night, that team, if that team shows up every week, that team's winning a Super Bowl. So I got to think that it's more enjoyable for the Lions because you know that is sustainable. The Tigers, a bit of a movie, but you know deep down, probably not going to last but for a few more games. So I would say if Lions... 248-539-9797.
This one's tough for me, primarily because I think the right answer should be the Lions because they're a better product. They're just a better team. We expect them to win a Super Bowl or get there. But for some reason, when I'm watching the Lions, I just ultimate stress. I have stress. I have anxiety. I'm pulling my hair out every play. With the Tigers, it does feel a little bit like house money, and there's no stress there. I can just sit back, relax, enjoy the ball game. Yeah, the intense moments get intense, but it just feels like it means less because the expectations were so low at the beginning of the season, and they're still pretty low now. But with the Lions, it feels like every snap before every game, I sit down on the couch, and I'm just already gritting my teeth, and my fists are clenched. So I'd say the right answer is probably the Lions, but I'm going to say the Tigers for me are the more fun.
Yeah, but isn't the stress what makes the winning fun?
It's what makes the winning fun. So I'd say the winning is more fun for the Lions.
David.
See, what you just said is the reason why I'm picking the Tigers. It's because of the stress. That is sports. I want to see my team, and I want to be somewhat stressed in the moments when they're, you know, they're happening in the playoffs, and I'm on the edge of my seat. So, yes, I have more fun with the stress of the Detroit Tigers right now.
All right, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Not trying to be provocative. I'm just telling you, like, how I really feel. I still treat the Tigers like a plaything. And the Lions are legit. Like, the Lions are a Super Bowl-caliber team in the National Football League with some of the best players in the league, and they play a brand of football that I respect. Versus the Tigers being a Disney movie playing a style of ball I loathe, but I'm accepting because I live in Detroit and I want people to be happy.
So the Lions your main job and the Tigers are the side hustle.
Not even.
You kind of have fun with it, but you know deep down, this is where my money is.
And I can't stress this enough. A Super Bowl means 10 times what a World Series means to me. Super Bowl is Valhalla. The Super Bowl is the championship of championships. It's like winning the Masters versus winning anything else. The Super Bowl is a kingmaker. So I treat the Lions in their... And again, the Lions play a brand of football. That's man stuff. Like, they will line up and punch you in the face repeatedly until your head blows up. They got star players. I got arguably the best receiver in football. I got the best right tackle who kills people. I got a receiving threat at quarterback. I've got maybe the defensive player of the year in Aiden Hutchinson. I've got legit stars. We ain't swapping 53 guys in. My stars are my stars. I love that. Versus the Tigers, they're doing Moneyball. Do you understand there's a lot of guys on this team that won't be here next year? Mm-hmm. Like, I treat them as fun. I treat the Lions as life. That's where I get my joy is I take the Lions more seriously in how they're built and the joy I get watching it, which is these are the best people in the league at what they do. They're not a fun story. These dudes are straight killers. Does that make me a bad fan?
No,
I don't think so.
But see, I think I can see what Kenny is talking about where, yeah, you're stressed out watching the Lions because the expectation is there, because you don't want to see them have a bad night. If the Tigers have a bad night, okay, well, next game. You shrug it off.
And that's why I have more fun with the Lions, because I'm a masochist. That's why. 248-539.
If I had the bell, I would ring it.
9797. Which one is giving you more joy right now? The Lions in pursuit of the unthinkable or the Tigers? Two completely different sets of expectations. Two completely different teams. One is built on star power. The other is built on try hard. One is built on this is what we do, you're going to eat pizza. The other is I'm playing 4D chess, you're playing checkers. Mm-hmm. I think it is largely subjective. You're not a bad fan for picking either. But I'd love to know from you guys. 248-539-9797.
Ticket Texter says that was a dominant performance by the Lions. The only reason it wasn't a blowout, defensive penalties, and many of those were ref nitpicking calls. Texter says Tim Patrick played hell of a game, should get some love this morning. Great addition, could slide into the Josh Reynolds role. He looked good last night. Not long ago, we were saying if our defense is just average, we'd be a serious threat. Guys, I think we're there. JC and Allen Park.
Yeah, and I mean, you could say they were average last night, and you could say there were some things that, yes, they need to improve upon, but they did what they had to do to give the Lions a chance to win, and in the first two wins, they were the story. The first three games, they were the story about how much better they are this year versus last year.
Yeah, big picture, the defense is better than I thought they'd be through 4 weeks. Even last night, I know they were giving up a lot of first downs and raw yardage. They got three straight stops to close the game. They forced multiple turnovers. They were on the field a lot in that second half, and it's also just a bad matchup. No Brian Branch, a team that's just X's and O's, had success against Detroit. And for all the griping about the defense yesterday, they won by 13 points. There's just no reason to be miserable today. That was as fun a badass football game, badass in those black uniforms. But that opinion on the uniforms is not shared on this show. It's not unanimous on this show. As Greg put it before the show, he doesn't like the blacks. Uniforms. Yes. Greg?
I did not find them appealing to watch from an on-television broadcast standpoint. The blue on black, there's not enough contrast there. And so it's displeasing to the eye to see that. The silver on the blue, the blue jerseys with the white name and numerals and the silver breeches with the blue stripe really pop and they stand out and they accent every part of the uniform. I thought the blue on black, there's a little bit blurring of the contrast between those two things. So I didn't find it that appealing to see on television and to see it, watch it play out on a game. And maybe this is part of my like play-by-play broadcaster kind of kicking in, where it'd be difficult to read names and numbers. I didn't find it as appealing as others did.
So I love the new blue jerseys like you do, and the numbers pop. The it just looks so clean and sharp. Love it. And from a broadcast standpoint, too, makes it very easy to see. But as a home broadcast, you get really familiar with guys that where they run, how they catch, how they play, all that stuff. So you don't really need to see the numbers quite as well. I thought the black uniforms looked awesome. I'm not a huge fan of messing with uniforms. I am very much a traditionalist when it comes to that. But if you're going to have an alternate uniform, please, please, please have an alternate helmet that goes well with that uniform. The black stripe, the black lion on the helmet, I thought was just awesome.
Yeah, I thought it popped. Like it's awesome. It's a deep black color with the blue that I think almost like it pops
as
off the screen.
As opposed to a lighter black?
I love the helmet.
Thank you, Stoney.
248-539-9797. We'll get some reactions, uniforms, the game itself, the offense finally getting their swagger back, the defense doing enough. What do you got?
Uniform-wise, I told you guys that that's one of the few things my wife spontaneously said during the game. Like, she really liked the uniforms, but really liked the helmets, like in terms of the way they popped and stuff. So I got to say Greg's in the wrong here.
Yeah.
It's usually like what your guys' significant others think about it.
Kelsey likes them.
I don't know that Lisa even commented on it last night. It wasn't, like I said, the uniforms aren't a topic of conversation in our house.
We got to stick to football.
Yeah. I'm just, I do let her talk.
Did you see that cap?
Yeah, some people think
I let her talk.
With the people that would be awful to watch a game with me because you don't want the kids to talk. You'll let your wife talk. No, we do have conversations about the game.
You have the all 22, don't you?
I just don't like listening to some of the announcers talk.
What did Lisa think of the run blocking?
She thought it was great. She loved the Alcatraz play that it's being called. Loved that one. So Amon-Ra St. Brown went to her high school. So anytime Amon-Ra St. Brown does something, I hear about modern day and all this stuff, which is it's fine. But David Montgomery is on her fantasy team. So he breaks off that 40-yard pass, and obviously that brought her out of her seat. That's my guy!
Well, now you brought up fantasy. I was dealing with that last night. Sam has Montgomery and Connor has Gibbs. Mm-hmm. That was... Why, how come the other one's not getting the ball, like complaining like every time? I'm like, seriously, can we watch the game?
Right.
Can we watch the game?
And there's room for both these guys. Like, it's the best running back duo in the NFL. They're going to keep each other fresh. They can run all the same stuff with both of them in the game. Gibbs with two red zone touchdowns. It's not just Montgomery. And Montgomery catching the ball. Like, they are interchangeable in that way. Let's get to the phones. We've got Jason in Farmington Hills. Jason, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to touch on two things. First, in terms of the defense letting up a lot of points, and especially in the second half, if you really think about it, they let up a touchdown at halftime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the third quarter, I think the defense was on the field for 12 or 13 minutes of that quarter. So they were gassed. So I'm not really going to blame the defense there at all. Terrion needs to fix a few things, which I believe he will, and Aaron Glenn will help him. And the second thing I wanted to discuss was, I think David Montgomery is the low-key MVP of our team. I think what that guy brings to the run game is special. I think it's a perfect 1-2 punch with him and Gibbs. And that catch that he had, I mean, just to stuff that defender, continue on for 40 yards, that was something special.
He's a tone setter. There's no question about it. You have certain guys on your team that are tone setters. And we saw it last week when he was, you know, trying to get extra yardage. Now, all of a sudden, when he's fighting for that extra yardage, the offensive line joins in and they actually pick him up and carry him for 5 yards. He's laughing. But it is the tone that he sets when you have a play like that and you square off with Devin Witherspoon. You knock him on his butt. And you go for 40 yards when it should have been a 2-yard loss, that's a tone setter.
I agree with you, tone setter. It's a great observation. You know what this he reminds me of is what James Edwards used to do for the Pistons back in the day. They would get him the ball in the first quarter, post up, and it would open up everything else. And that's what David Montgomery does for the offense.
Yeah.
Matt in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good. So I just wanted to call and say, so like last year we knew that the defense was lacking a little bit, and this year, like we were saying, you guys were just saying, the first three games, the defense looked way better than it did last year. But last night, they lacked a little bit, but the offense stepped up when we needed them to. And I just think that that shows that that's what your contenders do, because the same thing with Kansas City. Their defense sometimes falters on what happens. Mahomes and Kelsey make miraculous things happen, and they win. And that just kind of seems like where this team is going, and it shows that we're true Super Bowl contenders out here.
I do think that it highlighted the fact that this team, going into the season, a lot of us talked about the expectation is the Super Bowl. Not just a visit to the Super Bowl, but a win. And last night it showed that they are a team that is going to be one of the very few that you think can win the Super Bowl.
And Matt, what I think too is you got to be able to win different ways. So we knew they had the offensive firepower because all of last year they did, and they brought most of those guys back. You knew they were going to have a game eventually where they exploded, and to do it on Monday night against the nemesis to win by double digits in fun, convincing fashion. It's awesome. And to feel like your defense is better than a year ago, and if you need to win an ugly kind of grinded out game, they've already banked a couple of those wins this season. It feels like, yeah, they could go in the playoffs and match up with whatever kind of game they need to play. And I think that's what builds the confidence of this team to win the Super Bowl, because you're going to have to beat all kinds of different teams. I mean, if you get to the Super Bowl, think about the teams in the AFC. The different styles of a Baltimore or a yep. Kansas City or a Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Even you know, if the Bengals caught fire and they've been to a Super Bowl, different styles. Can you win different kind of games? This team's showing it a month into the season.
They are, and they can win multiple ways, and they can do it offensively. They can do it defensively. Now, when both sides are humming along, and it's going to take some time, but you want to be playing your best football in weeks 16, 17, 18, leading into the playoffs. And if they're able to remain healthy enough or have the guys that are on the roster that step in at a moment's notice to play like they did last night, now all of a sudden you get into the playoffs, and there are other teams that are fearful of drawing the Lions in the postseason.
Texter says, offense was fire last night. Defense gave up 500 yards. Hard to win games in the NFL, but we'll take it. Still, defense has to figure out how to get pressure and contain mobile quarterbacks on those third downs in that second half of the game. DG in Fenton. Ticket texters on the uniforms. Whatever, nerd, those black and blue unis looked sweet on the broadcast. Greg, your TV must be messed up. Time to retire that TV from college. LOL.
What'd they look like in person? What'd they look like in the stadium? If you were sitting at Ford Field and they ran out with the new unis on, I want to know what it looks like. I've had one individual text me and said that, you know, they were there. First of all, the atmosphere was great. They look sweet. But I want to hear some more feedback, what they were like in person. Because on TV, I thought it was badass.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. It's really, really weird to be this deep into football season. And the marquee has been stolen from the Detroit Lions by the Detroit Tigers. No shocker today, Jared Goff named NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Why?
He had a 100% completion percentage, threw for 292 yards, two touchdowns, perfect passer rating, was targeted once, caught one pass for a touchdown.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah. It's a good day for Jared Goff.
He didn't even get a game ball after the game.
No, he didn't. Dan Campbell was so funny about that.
But you know what? It was the exact experience you lived at the game, Kang, where you didn't notice. You were in the stands. You didn't know until after the game that Goff was perfect and didn't throw an incompletion. Neither did Dan Campbell.
You know, normally, coaches get like a stat sheet after the game. They can look at it, or they'll look at it. You see it all the time in basketball and hockey. The guys are looking at their stat sheet, and they say, oh, you know, well, he got 38 minutes from Cade tonight, and we look good. Mm-hmm. Campbell obviously didn't get that, because one of the first questions asked
of
him.
That was surprisingly accurate. You will get that. They'll be looking at the stat sheet, just ripping off random stats, like 38 minutes from Cade, probably too many. But you're right. Yeah, go ahead.
And the first question asked to Campbell was about Jared Goff and his perfect outing, and Campbell smiles, and because you could tell he was immediately embarrassed, and he's like, I didn't know that. He was perfect? Well, we just gave the game ball out. Maybe I should have given him a game ball. And then the obvious question is, who got the game ball? And there were three game balls that were given out. One was to Ben Johnson, one was to Kirby Joseph, and the other one went to Jamison Williams. And the reasoning was solid. He said, look, Jamo blocked blocked his ass off and was the reason we were able to get so many yards after contact. And he's done a really nice job. And, oh, by the way, the touchdown was great, too. Speed kills. But, yes, had he known that Goff was literally perfect, I think it's safe to say that he either would have given out a fourth game ball or would have taken it back from J-Mo. But if you watch the video of Dan Campbell in the locker room afterwards, it's great because the team loves him and he loves the team and he's handing out the game balls. And when he hands it to Jameson Williams and explains why, everybody knows why and they love him. The look on J-Mo's face, he was so happy to get that game ball.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Goff was perfect. That's awesome. But I love the reaction that the Jameson Williams had from it. So that was happy.
He had never gotten a game ball before. When they played on Sunday night, he got the one from the Sunday night crew, but he didn't get one from Dan Campbell. And so I think that's actually his first official, like, from the Lions game ball. So maybe, you know, and plus he's so young. He enjoys the game. He plays it like a kid, essentially.
It's great, yeah.
You know?
So, you clearly in Detroit, the big story is the Tigers, but we bring this up because it might impact us in the National Football League. The big story circulating today is that Davante Adams wants out of Vegas. This is the most predictable story ever. We talked about it in the offseason. Vegas' schedule's tough right out of the gate. Watch him to be unhappy. Watch for him to be unhappy. He was already teetering on unhappiness last year, as we saw in the show Receiver and the reports that were out. They are 2-2, so it's not like their season's over. But now reports have circulated that he wants out. And the asking price, according to insiders, is a second-round pick.
And then some conditional stuff.
Yep. Which doesn't feel like it's a huge asking price, but he's likely a rental with voidable years on his contract and would probably get into free agency.
Yeah, because his contract is massive if you're going to take that on. And apparently his wish list is, there's two teams at the top of his wish list, and not surprisingly, it'd be the Jets to go back and play with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. or to go to New Orleans and play with Derek Carr. Why'd want to play with Derek Carr? I don't know, but apparently he would because they played together in college. But Diana Rossini is tweeted out. She said, the Pittsburgh Steelers are interested in trading for Davante Adams, according to a source. There have been discussions, and both sides are keeping an open line of communication. If he goes to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh becomes a contender, right? Like, they've already had a nice record to start the season, probably better than what people expected. They're going with Justin Fields as their quarterback. He doesn't have anybody to throw to yet. If you bring in one of the best receivers in the game there, all of a sudden, doesn't Pittsburgh look a lot more formidable?
Yeah. And now, when did Rossini tweet that out?
It was with what time, says 8 minutes, but I'm guessing it's probably more like 15 minutes ago.
Okay, because in the last 10 minutes, she tweeted out, my biggest takeaway from conversation with teams around the league, many involved or who have checked in, believe the Jets are the team that will get this trade done.
I so hope the Jets don't get this done. And if they do, I hope the Jets are held over a barrel and have to give up like a first round pick and other multiple picks and that it fails miserably.
Yeah, I would agree. Actually, I like Davante Adams after watching Receiver. But I mean, are the Lions, I haven't seen the Lions mentioned anywhere. Like, I've seen lists of teams that should trade and I don't really have an issue with it because I feel like they have an emerging receiving core and they might have other bigger needs, like the edge rusher opposite of Hutch.
So Dan Graziano of ESPN has put out there that the Lions, including the Commanders, Cowboys, and Jets, are among potentially interested teams that have enough cap space right now to trade for Adams. So there's one floated out there, so a credible reporter that's mentioned the Lions and Davante Adams.
ESPN had a story this morning about teams that should trade for Davante Adams, and they listed like 10 teams, and the Lions were not.
They were not
one of those teams.
No, they listed. I've got the story here. It's Kansas City, the Jets, Buffalo, the Chargers, the Steelers, the Ravens, Cleveland, Dallas, Green Bay, the Rams, and the Commanders. I mean, that's a lot of teams without mentioning Detroit.
Well, and you can understand why. Lions just scored 42 points the other night.
Yeah.
It's not like offensively they desperately needed another wide receiver. And look, would he be an upgrade? Absolutely.
Without question.
Davante Adams is amazing. But is it overkill? Like, if you're going to spend your money on a trade, Would all Lions fans agree it's not wide receiver, but defensive end?
Well, here's the weird thing about this that we have to remind ourselves is we can sit here and say, I'm not going to go after him because I'm going to go after player X. Or I'm going to go after
or double X
or
there.
Yeah, because Max Crosby's name has two X. Or I'm going to go after this position. But those are all yet to develop stories. So we can say, I want to get an edge rusher opposite of Hutch if one becomes available. Right. Like you assume that somebody will be available that can help you. But what if you find out that the best guy is somebody else's Josh Pascal? Like we can't assume that Max Crosby's going to be available.
No, you can't assume that. But here's what happens every year. Every year it seems like there are players that become available that would be at least an interesting talking point for a fit. Happened last year. We talked a lot about it. And if they didn't want Chase Young, okay, there's a reason why they didn't want Chase Young.
Yep.
Right? But could they have gone after, you know, other players? Could they have gone after Sweat? They chose not to because there was a contract that would have to be associated with that if you're going to do so. The player from Carolina, defensive end. Brian Burns. Could they have done that? They could have, but the price is very steep. At least Carolina put it out there too steep. And they screwed themselves and lost him anyway. There'll be players available. I feel that players will be available. The question is,
it is unknown.
Will Brad Holmes pull the trigger on it? At some point, Brad Holmes is going to play the game of F them picks.
So, yeah, and what we can guarantee is Davante Adams is available. That seems to be pretty accurate.
Yes.
We can't guarantee that a really good edge rusher will be available. So there's a little bit of, hey, got it, we'd rather have the elite edge rusher than the wide receiver, but getting Davante Adams helps the Lions win, period, end of story.
But after you go through the game like Monday night, you can't help but say to yourself, it's still a need for edge rusher.
And, I think it's a way bigger need. But
yeah, and Kang brought up a name last week that I think that I have to ask myself, have they kicked the tires on this? Is there a reason they haven't or have? Are they going to bring somebody in this week because it's the bye week?
But it's like going to a car dealership and say, here's how much money I have. I want to get this Bronco. And they'll say, well, that's not enough money. You can get this Ford Edge, but I want the Bronco. Bronco's not for sale at that price. I want the Ford. You can only get the Ford Edge.
Except it looks like the Lions have the budget for a Lamborghini. If they want to.
Potentially, if the Lamborghini's for sale. I guess it's more like going to somebody's house to buy their used car. And you go, oh, I don't want that one. I want that one. Are you selling that one? And the person's like, no, it's not for sale. Max Crosby might not be for sale.
All right, so we wanted to, for the first time all week, and I know it's a weird week. Tigers are in the playoffs. We're going to get to them a little later in the show. The Lions played a Monday night game. It was one of the best Monday night games you'll see. Crowd, you guys were incredible. The action, I mean, Rico's godson lit it up again. I don't know what Geno Smith has. What did Detroit ever do to this man?
I don't know.
We didn't cut you, the Jets did. But Lions win it, and they won it. I thought emphatically they did a great job in never letting up. So we're at the quarter pole for all intents and purposes, right? Quarter of the way through this hyped and ballyhooed season for your Detroit Lions. And I wanted to have some fun. And it's kind of like Rico's receipts with a twist. Part of this is you're just giving an award out for what you've seen the first 4 weeks. Like, for instance, who's the Lions at the quarter pole? Offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. Who's the bust? Who's been the biggest surprise? Who's the MVP? But when or if you decide to call, I also am going to ask you, who will be that player at the halfway point? So if we check back in a month, who's the quarter pole MVP? And will that same person be the MVP at the halfway point? Or will it be someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So, like an example, the easiest one is who's been the defensive player of the year? Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
I think you could say with a high degree of confidence, at the halfway mark, it'll still be Aiden. Right? But like offensive player of the year, it's a lot more uneven. Jared Goff wasn't very good in the opening quarter. He was great last week. Who's the offensive player of the year? Yet, by the halfway point, I can make a case it's Goff. That in the next 4 weeks, he'll take that pole position. So I thought it'd be fun, and it's just a way for us to talk heading into the bye week. They're 3-1. I think nerves are calmer.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress on a few fronts, but just want to see where people are at. So you want to start, pick one. MVP, offensive player, defensive player, bust, or surprise. Who's your quarter pole, and who will it be at the halfway point?
I can pick one. I'm going to go offensive player of the year. For offensive player of the year at the quarter pole, I'm going to go David Montgomery.
The pace setter.
Yeah. I think he is the guy. And you saw from week one when they had to score that touchdown, it was him that just said, give me the ball in overtime. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs is flashy. David Montgomery is just meat and potatoes, gets it done. And, yeah, I think at the halfway point, I still think he will be the offensive MVP. Offensive player of the year.
David.
I'm going to go defensive here. Yes, Hutchinson. It should still be Hutchinson at the halfway point, but let me include this. With hope for every Detroit Lions fan, you should hope that at the halfway point is Terrion Arnold. At the halfway point. That means he's not getting holding calls, he's not getting interference calls, and he's being the cornerback that you drafted him to be for the second half of the year. So hope, yes, it should be Terrion Arnold, but it's probably going to be Hutch. Halfway point.
Okay. Kenny.
I'll do the offensive player. It's the same as Rico's Montgomery for all the reasons he listed, but my halfway point, it's actually going to change because I think Goff and St. Brown will find enough rhythm where he's the, you know, in case of fire, break glass, or he's just the primary target he becomes. This offense has so many weapons. Hutchins or Montgomery is the one right now, but St. Brown down the line will be.
All right. I want to surprise you guys with something. Just for fun. Okay? I want to do MVP. Most valuable player. What if I told you it was Jameson Williams? That in three of the four games, he has had a massive impact on each game, either with touchdowns or explosives. The one game he didn't have a touchdown, he's still at a 52-yard reception. Then if we take his numbers out of the vacuum and we place them in the league, do you realize that J-Mo ranks number 12 in the entire NFL in receiving yards? It's surprising, right? So you're getting the touchdowns. He's getting a target share. He's three of the four games been heavily involved, explosive, effective, efficient, and then league-wide, he's a wide-out one. Isn't that value? It's a little different. I'm not going to die on the hill, but I thought it was interesting. And
so for him, for MVP? See, I would see more of a surprise because I think this is the J-Mo that we always wanted to see. This was the J-Mo, like, man, if he ever got his life together and went out there and really got it done, to me, I get what you're saying, Mike. I would put that as more surprise because I can't not look at what Hutchinson has done with the sacks and the pressures. And
totally.
I mean, I just think it's funny. Basically the defense.
It's just funny that J-Mo, in half the catches, has more yards than Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
You know, Amon-Ra's caught like 28 balls. J-Mo's caught 13.
Mm-hmm.
And J-Mo's got 50 or 60 more yards. But could easily be Hutchinson.
Right.
Hutchinson could sweep the board. Now, how about this one? Surprise in a bad way, the bust. Are we going to all agree Sam Laporta?
Yeah.
Or no?
I was going to think James Houston.
I was thinking James Houston as well. You know what? But I hear you.
But you know what? That may be too easy because in order to be a bust, you had to have expectation. I didn't expect him to make the team.
Fair.
So, yeah, I think Laporta probably because, you know, all the touchdowns he got in the red zone and you're not seeing it right now. Now, this is one where you don't want to be that same player come halfway point.
So who's the bust at the halfway point?
You know what? I say this saying I think he's going to be a very good player. I think it's going to be Terrion Arnold.
Oh, no.
Because he's...
David, cue the sound effect for me. Oh, no. Not that. We cannot have a rookie corner be a disappointment.
because he's still
he's handsy.
And the fact that he's looking at Russ like, what am I doing? It's like, son, you've grabbed this guy and you're all over him. Like, yes, it's a penalty. And you're on an island. It's easy to see he hasn't gotten better at that. And I thought that he would, because there's certain moves that corners can do and they get away with it. Subtly putting the hand around the waist type of thing. But he's just like trying to go through the person. It's like you can't physically grab them with two hands and throw them down. That is frowned upon in the NFL. Don't know how they did it in Alabama, but not here in the NFL.
Could I give you a surprise? Something that it's probably too limited of a sample size, but man, was it impressive. And I thought he played really well, and he did it in the playoffs last year. And he stepped up again this year is Coyote Ashiboka, or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Awasika?
Yeah. Like, that's just a guy who I'm now very comfortable that if you lose one of your starting guards, we are just fine. That is a really pleasant surprise. Remember last year, like, oh my God, Jonah Jackson's hurt. We suck. End of the year, I'm pretty sure he played in the Frisco game in the NFC title
game. He did.
Yodi or whatever they call him. The dude played really well.
He did. It was one defensive breakdown. That was the Gibbs fumble. But other than that, he went out there and got it done. Because last year, you're right, when the O-line, the starting five played together, the Lions won every game. As soon as you took one out, they lost that game.
Having this dude makes you feel like, man, we don't just have a backup. This guy could rotate in and keep guys
fresh. This guy could be a starter.
So, look. You guys tell me where you're at with it. At the quarter poll, the Lions Awards, and then who's going to be there at the midway point? 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your phone calls, get some of the ticket texts, just something fun. We have not been able to talk Lions at all this week. We had to do something on a Friday here to have a little fun as we head into the bye week. I think an acceptable 3-1. Should be 4-0. You bleep down your leg in the Tampa game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.